We'll see.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
That's right, fellas. America, we are ready to start the show. Okay, yell too much. Once again, Rob has exited the frame.
I'm here. Let's start the show. Let's get this party started.
Oh,
ready.
Oh, I love it.
We are officially.
He's back. It was it was like the Big E coming back on the court, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Coming in Willis Reed style.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God.
That's right. They haven't been relevant since.
We are ready to go. No, they haven't.
The month of December is upon us, guys. December the 2nd. This year cannot get over fast enough, man. It's just been one of these trying situations. But we're here a couple more weeks before we bid adieu to 2020. But before we do that, we got a couple more shows, obviously. And let's finish this bad boy strong, man. I mean, I know it's been crazy. We had an NFL game on Wednesday on tonight, which was like, what? I admit it was kind of cool.
It was trash.
But in the afternoon, too.
It was
one of those things.
It was trash.
I was having football while I was working, and it was cool to have it in the background, you know. So, you know, obviously JQ thinks it's trash because his favorite team was playing with the Steelers, you know. But other than that, we'll let him be, if you will.
Anytime NBC decides they want to put on a Rockefeller lightning of a Christmas tree over football on a Wednesday night so they play the game in the daytime, you know it's trash.
Trash.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We didn't even get it out here in the West Coast.
No.
Wow.
AT&T and DirecTV didn't put it on.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That's another conversation.
Not even on regular NBC?
No.
Wow. No.
I had to watch the rules. That's how I got it. That's crazy. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm doing good. I know you were coming to me. I'm doing good. I went to go watch it because I had a crazy day at work, and the sports bar I normally go to has DirecTV because of the NFL package is why they had DirecTV, and they didn't have it on regular NBC because of the whole fight between NBC and DirecTV and AT&T. The bartender who has YouTube TV had to download the app onto the receivers and then and launch it from there for us to watch it over the internet. That's how bad it was. It was crazy.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. NFL game like that, isn't it? It's just, what a weird year, man. This is just getting crazy.
Wow. No. I've got YouTube TV too, JQ. So that's the reason why I was able to watch, because I had YouTube TV. So everything that we watched, you know, Marcia, she watches. You watch Jimmy Fallon. None of that is. I'm like, yeah, this is the reality, if you will, too, man. So that's craziness, man. Rob, how you feeling, bro?
Doing fantastic, man. What's going on?
What you eating, bro?
Trap house. Ready to get this party started.
And they're slinging them pies and them bricks. That boy in that trap house, he got one fan and one window.
Oh gosh.
Oh yeah.
Hey, I got to say, JQ, before we show some love to the West Coast with Curtis and Gary, you're going to have to get some guns for your daughter, man, 100% JQ, man. So that's how I felt with my goddaughter, man. I'm like, yo, it ain't happening, man. So we got your back, man. It's like Bad Boys for Life. I thought we're going to go, man. We got to do that.
Up,
man.
Right.
So, we got your back, bro.
you have sex with a man? You want to?
Yeah.
This is my better half right here. This is hey. This is Mrs. Woo-hoo. Silly Face.
There.
How
are
you?
How are you?
Thanks for letting Gary come and play.
Thanks for letting Gary out. There it is. Curtis Gary, what's going on? What's up with you guys, man?
Lay him off the leash.
Yeah. We're doing really. And I can't say anything because he's in the room. I can't even act cool and say something real cool because he's right there and I'll get in trouble later. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we're doing good. Oh, we're doing good. I mentioned that we're the dream team. I got to say, if we were the dream team, you know, JQ, you'd be Michael Jordan. I would say, that's right. Andre, you're probably, you know, Magic. We got Larry Bird for Rob.
Okay. Larry Bird, oh, man.
I can't be Larry Bird. I'm going to be like Mullen, or I'm probably going to be like Christian Leighton or something, you know, a guy at the end of the bench. Curtis, who do you want to be on the team? You're quite the Brian, I guess. We'll give you
I'm going to say, you got to be quiet.
That's a good one. I'm Christian Leitner. Don't bitch, Rob. I'm Christian Leitner.
Hey. Andre can never get a shot over me, man. We would go to the court and play.
Uh-oh.
That's not true. That's not true. That's not true, Rob.
You know it's true,
you're going to bring this back, bro. It's not true, man. I know you shot over me.
You get him on one of those seven. You get him on one of those 7-foot rims, and he'll sky.
I got some shots of you.
Don't fly with me.
Rob had the goggles and everything. I'm like, what? You know, so it was pretty funny, man. But we had some fun.
Andre
so,
used to have this up and under move. He just thought it was so slick. And
you'll
I used to send
logos,
that stuff
man.
Out of there like Mutombo.
No, you'll be blocked.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be blocked. You'll be blocked one.
No,
I got you, man. You only got
what?
One.
No.
You only got one. You only got one, Rob.
Tell the truth, Drake.
We're going to go.
As they say in the church, tell the truth, shame the devil.
We're going to go again, man.
What did I start?
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, bro.
Yeah,
you
that's
true.
I blame you.
Hey, at least you were MJ.
Yeah, it's all good.
You know.
You got one, but that's all good. It's all good, man. We're going to have some fun. I love it, man. We having fun though, man. Those are we have some fun times though whenever we go to the court, man. So let's get the score started. Let's throw out the numbers for those who want to call into the show. 424-243-9519 is always the number to call into the show. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12 THMEN Sports. That's kind of fast, but at the number 12 THMEN Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports from the 12th man, or if you put 12th man sports. You will find us as well. So, gentlemen, right out the gate, we got to talk about some NFL here, some predictions for Week 13. This is an interesting matchup. I know JQ doesn't want to talk about the Steelers, who are still undefeated, by the way, too, so we'll get into that. I know that Curtis and Gary, we were kind of talking about the Eagles and Carson Wentz, so it's actually great that you put that topic in there, Rob, too. So we'll dive into that, too. But first and foremost, the Browns at the Titans, if you will. I know, Curtis, I want to hear your thoughts, too, about your favorite guy, Baker Mayfield. He was just going down. He's like, man, I should have been better. But tell me your thoughts about this one, if you will, right out the gate with this prediction, if you will.
Curtis, go ahead.
Well, I don't really believe in the Browns, and I believe the Titans. I think the Titans are the team that I wonder against Kansas City, can they control that clock with Derrick Henry going the fourth quarter, take the lead with 30 seconds left, and leave with 30 seconds, can they beat Kansas City? Can that defense keep them out of the end zone?
So you're saying they are going to beat Cleveland. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying I think the Titans are getting ready, and I think they're getting ready to be that team that might can upset Kansas City. They might be able to handle that clock. Get it in the fourth quarter. Take the lead in the fourth quarter and don't leave that man any time.
You know, and what Curtis and I were saying, this game is a no-brainer, I think. I think, you know, I don't think Cleveland has a chance in this, in my opinion. But I will say this, they do have a hell of a lot better record than the Cowboys, so there's not a lot of room I can talk about it. But with that
Murray Schottenheimer. Yeah,
Curtis and I were talking about, you know, a team that could stop, you know, Kansas City. And that's why he mentioned, you know, the Titans, you know, with their running attack. You know, that's what you're going to have to do eventually. It comes down to you're going to have a good running attack and really leave, you know, Mahomes no time left. Or 20 seconds left on the clock to beat the guy.
One second.
Well, maybe even that. Seconds. I mean, that guy. He's hard to beat. We were trying to figure out who is that team that could compete. Steelers are proving that they are, and I think maybe Titans are maybe leaning that way as well.
Wow.
Maybe.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Hey, Marcy.
My better half.
I don't know.
You doing?
I don't think
Uh-oh.
So. I don't think that.
Got Steph Curry coming back, feeling good now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You said, hold on. Again.
What? I said you got Steph Curry coming back. You're feeling good about wearing that hat now, huh?
I'm not very happy about Clay, but, you know, happy about the picks that we've picked up during the draft. So I think we're gonna be okay. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I mean, Clay hurt. I'm not gonna lie. I had to have a moment of silence, but you know, we the Warriors. We can do some things. So we'll see.
Yep, James Wiseman should be interesting.
Right. JQ, congratulations to your Lakers.
He's too scared to watch his own team play.
We'll appreciate it. Hey, I'll watch the third and fourth quarter. You get off me. I get too crazy. I can't, you know, I walk around here like a crazy person. I can't watch the whole game from the tip off. I get too ridiculous. I own it. I can't do it.
Well, that's how I was with the Warriors. I didn't sleep for about 2 or 3 years, so it was rough. So it was nice to have this lag. So y'all Lakers had it this time, so congratulations. It was good. It was fun to watch.
No, it was fine.
So looking forward to the season starting again soon. It's going to be some good basketball this year, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm ready.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I think it's going to be wrong. The Pelicans ain't gonna be no good, but yeah, it's
got
to be the best.
If we got Zion Williamson, man, we're gonna be.
Rob, always
come on, buddy.
You always walk away.
Because he knows good as well the Pelicans might be.
Gotta get my Yuberry tea going.
Stop it. Where's the Spaniards? Stop it.
So what?
Oh.
Where's the what?
She said, where's the asparagus?
Where's the asparagus? It's coming.
Oh, I had some for dinner and lunch today already.
Yeah, see, it's already in the belly.
I knew it. I knew it.
Oh, yeah. It's a mess.
All right, guys.
Got to stay healthy.
Have a great show.
All right.
Thank you, Marcy. Good to see you.
Thank you. Right.
Go
Pelicans.
Oh, my
goodness. Go Pelicans.
Yeah, y'all are crazy.
I can't.
I take the Titans. I don't think the Titans' defense is strong enough to stop Kansas City, even if they possess the ball. The Chiefs' offense is so ridiculous and dynamic that they can strike so quickly. They don't need to have a 8-play, 7-minute drive to score. They can hit Kelce twice and hit Tyreek over the top, and in 2.5 minutes they're already in the end zone. And you're like, well, damn, we possess the ball for 7 minutes, and they answer right back at 2.5 minutes. As much as I hate to say it, I think it's the Steelers and that defense that will make them be more methodical, have to drive the ball, play a little bit more small ball, make more of those, you know, 6, 8, 10-minute drives, and how many of those can you get in the game against a really good defense without them having a lapse in coverage? But to the game with the Browns and the Titans, the Browns on the road, I'm with you. I don't trust Baker Mayfield. If you don't give him one of those crazy weather conditions off of Lake Erie where it's blowing 25 miles an hour straight across and raining and whatnot, you're not prepared for that kind of weather. I just don't see that. And the Titans are really playing more complimentary football on the offensive side. You say Derrick Henry, you saw what he did against the Colts. But then you see Corey Davis, you see A.J. Brown in the passing game with Tannehill, and they have that ability when you know, Henry is starting to go really well. They pull that ball back, and A.J. Brown is a baby D.K. Metcalf, real quiet, like he's a beast. I think they just have too much. And that Cleveland secondary is banged up as well. So I like the Titans, you know, by 10 to 14 points to this game. I think the Titans are playing good ball. I think they have to win this game and not have a setback after beating the Colts, which I told you the Titans is going to beat the Colts. So I'm going to go with the Titans in this game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Titans on this one, too. And even though the Titans are 8-3, they've been a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde team a little bit this year. They've had some games where they've just looked unstoppable this year, and then they've had some games where you're like, whoa, they, you know, this definitely does not look like us. So what?
They lost to the Bengals.
They lost to the Bengals.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Even though they're 8-3.
Damn, the Bengals. Damn.
Yeah, even though they're 8-3, they've been a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde, but Derrick Henry has been incredible, and I've got him back in the top five in the MVP conversation here. I mean, obviously, I still got Patrick Mahomes, you know, out in front, number one in front of everybody else. But I moved Derrick Henry into the top five into the MVP conversation, and I like him in this game. I think they're going to beat the Browns 30-20. I think a 10-point victory for Tennessee. Their defense, I think, will do just enough to hold Cleveland down. But I think it's going to be Ryan Tannehill controlling the football. I think this year he's only got 4 INTs on the season, taking care of the football. And also a lot of Derrick Henry is going to be the recipe for success for this team in this game. And they're that one team that if they can put it all together can possibly compete with the Chiefs and the Steelers. I mean, if they can put it together. But as of now, as you all have already said, the Chiefs are just, I mean, I was at a sports bar and this past weekend really to watch the Saints, but, you know, I had to keep my eye on the Bucks and the Chiefs games, and Mahomes just flickered a wrist, man, to a Tyreek Hill just like that. And, I mean, that was just explosive. I mean, the Bucks were able to slow him down at the end of the game a little bit, but Mahomes and Tyreek Hill were just putting on a show in that game.
Man, you wouldn't go watch the Saints play a team that didn't have no quarterback? Come on, man. You knew they was going to win that game. You just wanted to see them go crazy. You knew that was going to be a win.
Hey, you would have did the same thing with the Bengals.
You'd be like this. How can we win?
Speaking of
that game, I felt bad for that kid that Denver had just thrown a game, hadn't played quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, the guy had been on the practice squad, wide receiver. And,
I
really felt bad. And I had all these Buccaneers fans in the sports bar. They were coming to talk trash to me. About the Saints got the easiest game of the week. I started to talk trash back to them and say, well, we did beat Brady twice already this year, but I left it alone. I didn't talk any trash back to them.
Oh, you should have.
You're talking about Jekyll and Hyde, and I saw it again this weekend, and I'm talking about those Atlanta Falcons. You cannot figure them out to save your life. Once you think they're dead, they kill somebody. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Atlanta doesn't make any sense to me. They really don't. What kind of team is that?
They do that all the time. They ruin their draft stock. They get down in the beginning of the season, and a lot of Falcons fans say, yeah, we're going to finally get a top 10, top 5 pick. We might be able to get rid of Matt Ryan, get this stud. And then the Falcons start winning games. They have no reason to win it. Like, they destroyed the Raiders for no good reason, and they're going to kill their draft stock for no good reason. That's the Falcons. They do that, like, every year.
Yeah, now, I said all along, offensively, the Falcons could still be scary. I mean, even though they didn't have Gurley and Julio Jones this past, offensively, that team could still be scary. And we didn't have some people.
And they still score 40-some points without Gurley and Julio. And next week they're going to get killed by the Saints. Watch. It's going to be dumb. Sorry, Dre, but you know it's going to happen. I'm with you. I'm with you, Curtis. They are the ultimate Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They're crazy.
That's crazy.
I mean, I hope they don't get killed. I hope they kind of have some redemption. We still literally don't sit there and drop back like 20 times and let Cam Jordan go nuts, man. I mean, we don't know how to throw a damn screen pass for the sake of our life during that game. But, you know, again, that's one of the conversations. But it's all good. We'll see what happens next week. I just hope that it was good whenever the Saints were undefeated and the Falcons won. That made my day last year too, man. So I'm just saying. So whatever we can do to ruin the Saints and not make Taysom Hill look like a damn, you know, Hall of Famers, it's my goal. So anyway, but I think that's a matchup thing, by the way. Sometimes
he didn't look that great this past weekend.
Yeah, well, still, I mean, but remember, sometimes teams have good matchups. I think, you know, obviously being a Gruden protege, that's the Raheem Morris, so he kind of knew something about the Raiders. I know they played really bad, having a couple turnovers. We should have scored 60 points, but we still really, like, Derek Carr played terrible, terrible, if you will. And sometimes you just have teams that just, like, match up well. Remember, like, back in the day, like, the Titans used to match up well with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, remember they had Eric Benair and they had Eddie George and Frank Wycheck. Mm-hmm. I used to love playing that squad in Madden. That's when me and Rob met. We used to play Madden. I used to love playing the Titans because I used to love, like, that Titans squad. The Jacksonville Jaguars could not beat them. They lost three times to them, you know, that year because they just couldn't beat the Titans. So certain times you have squads just match up well with them. You know, so.
Now, Andre could hang with me at Madden back in the day, but he couldn't hang with me on the basketball court.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. I love it. I'm still waiting.
Yeah, give me your props on Madden.
It's all good.
Oh, my goodness.
It's all good. We're gonna have some fun. Let's wrap this up here. Let's talk about the Rams at the Cardinals. And speaking of teams that match up well, how did the Rams they ended up losing, if you will. And, you know, Cardinals, obviously, they lost to the Patriots here. But the Rams over here, what's going on with them, Rob? Tell me a little about your thoughts about that, the game. And we're going to save the Cowboys, and we're going to save Curtis here a little bit later, too. But tell me your thoughts about that, Rob, getting upset by the 49ers, if you will, at 3 points.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rob.
It's going to be both of these teams are coming off of last-second field goal losses. You know, the Patriots beat the Cardinals on a last-second field goal. The Cardinals missed the field goal there at the end of the fourth quarter. And, of course, the Rams lost on the last-second field goal to the 49ers. So, 49ers this week going to be practicing out in Arizona all week and playing in Arizona, too.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting situation there. But talking about the Rams and the Cardinals here, this is a pivotal game. Obviously, Seattle's moved back into first place in the NFC West, with the Rams now holding down the number 5 spot in the NFC, and Arizona holding down the number 7 spot. So this is crucial for playoff positioning, crucial for still an opportunity to possibly win the division. So this is a very critical game. Both of these teams are playing outstanding on the defensive side of the football, too. And when you look at the head coaches of these teams, they're more offensive-minded. But both of these teams, the Rams, of course, has been in the top 5 in defense, and the Cardinals have been very underrated on the defensive side of the football, too. And that being said, I'm going to go with the team that's got a good defense and a good quarterback. And both of these teams have a good defense, but I'm going to go with the team that's got the better quarterback and they're at home. So I'm going to go Arizona in a slight win here. I'm going to go 23-17 Arizona winning at home. In a big football game this weekend.
You know what? You know how I am about the quarterbacks, and the only reason why I'm going to go the other way is I don't think Kyler Murray is healthy. A couple games ago, he got his shoulder hurt, and he doesn't seem to be throwing the ball with the same level of accuracy and zip on the ball these past couple of weeks. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is the week that he finally gets healthy and that shoulder is right. But, I mean, dynamically, with what he can do with his legs, I mean, you watch the games, there's nothing else to be said about that. He's a beast running the ball, improvising, getting out of the pocket. But being able to make those throws, like when I'm watching him right now these past couple of weeks, his shoulder just doesn't seem to be right. And until I see that shoulder be completely healthy and go back to making the throws he was making before, I'm going to go with the Rams, but I don't feel great about it because Jared Goff, Mr. Hyde, like if you have him on the fantasy team, 1 week he'll score 30 and 1 week he'll score 5. And you're like, which Jared Goff is going to show up? And the only reason I'm picking the Rams is I just don't think Kyler Murray is healthy from a throwing arm perspective. So I'm going to go with the Rams in that defense, and Jalen Ramsey to make a couple more plays. I think it's going to be really close. I can see Arizona winning, but until I see another game where I'm like, okay, Kyler Murray's shoulder is completely healthy. He's making all the throws he was making in the beginning of the year. I'm going to go with the Rams just because I don't think he's healthy.
Well, I noticed that too with Murray and his throwing. Of course, his legs are phenomenal, but he's also going up against a team that, If guys like us are noticing something like that, I guarantee you that front line and that front seven of the Rams is noticing that too. Let's crowd that box. Let's rush that guy and let's put him on his ass. Easier said than done. Divisional games, especially two teams. I think this is a pick'em matchup. I'm going to go with the Rams. It's being played in Arizona, but it's being played in Arizona. They're probably not going to have any fans or very few fans. So it's not like back in the day where you're going to have, that crowd behind you. It's just a football game, just like any other, lower end football game, no fans, that sort of thing. And I think that's going to benefit the Rams playing on the road. So I'm going with the Rams in this one. I think that front four is going to get after him.
Well, surprisingly, over the last 2 years, San Francisco has swept the Rams both years, last year and this year. So for Arizona, call the coaching staff in San Francisco and let them know your secret. Because I think the coaching staff in San Francisco got the Rams number. I think they really do. And we think this McVay guy in L.A. is the end-all in coaching. But we saw last Saturday, maybe he's not. But I think this might be the biggest game of the weekend. And this game means so much to both teams. Yeah. I think the Rams really think they have a chance to be in the Super Bowl. And they're going to take their – they got to win. If they don't win this, they don't have no chance. They got to win this.
It is a division game for sure. Yeah, we got
you. You know, that's an interesting point about how you mentioned that the Rams struggled against the 49ers. And, the 49ers, one of the things they like to create offensively is a lot of misdirection. And the Cardinals would be very capable of doing the same thing with a lot of misdirection plays with the talent that they have at the receivers positions, the running back positions, as well as the quarterback who can get out and be mobile. So it's going to be really, that's a really good point you make there, Curtis. Can Arizona – utilize a lot of that misdirection, which Kyle Shanahan is really famous for there in San Francisco.
Nice. Good stuff, man. Like I said, I think you guys have made some great points about it, too, and an interesting situation, too, with the Rams as far as, kind of do or die, if you will, say about that, Curtis. I think right now you're looking at the Steelers and everyone's Steelers and the Chiefs, right, to be the AFC championship game, too, right? That's kind of where it's heading right now, too. So that's what the NFL wants, I think, for sure, man. But let's go opposite direction here. Let's talk about, Curtis's favorite squad, the Eagles again, who beat the Cowboys with 46-43 practice squad players. But what do the Eagles need to do, number one, with Carson Wentz? And then also, we were talking about this earlier before you guys jumped on, about how the Eagles need to turn the organization around because the best quarterback may be the one Carson may not be the best quarterback even on this team, which is another conversation. But go ahead, Curtis, Gary, kind of take that one if you will.
Well, what we were talking about is our debate that we had is of who was the best quarterback at the beginning of the season in the NFC East. And people said Carson. You know, people said Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, but mostly Carson Wentz on this. And what I said earlier to Andre before we got on is maybe he's not even the best quarterback on their team right now. Mm-hmm. You know, he came from you said North Dakota, where he just won and won and won. And then he gets hurt. Nick Foles comes in, wins the Super Bowl. And I think where maybe he's one of those guys, what I said earlier, maybe he's one of those guys that can't regain that confidence. You know, you see guys like that have all the ability in the world, but once they lose that edge, whatever that edge is, you see that in lots of sports. You see that in boxing. You see that in professional skiing, downhill skiing. Once you lose that edge, some guys never regain it. I think that may be the case with Carson Wentz. What do you say? Curtis is out of the room.
Okay.
Well,
yeah, one of my numbers.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously when you look at this Eagles situation, I'm not so sure if I think Jalen Hurts is better, but I think if the Eagles start to get to the point where they're out of the division race here, I think if you're the Eagles, you got to see what you have in Jalen Hurts, right? I think you're going to have to play him maybe down the stretch, but, I mean, shucks, the way that NFC East is looking, you know, would it be out of the race? I mean, right now they're just a half game back. They're just a half game back of the Giants here. So I'm not convinced just yet that Jalen Hurts is the better quarterback on the team. And but, you know, I think if you're the Eagles, at some point you got to see what you have in him, right? And when you talk about what their team needs, I mean, their offensive line is horrible. It is terrible, as Andre said earlier, in the words of Charles Barkley. That offensive line is horrendous. It's one of the worst lines in the league, and a lot of the players on the line is old. They don't have the skill positions at wide receiver. Alshon Jeffrey probably wants a 10-5-40. And I didn't say a 10-5-100. He wants a 10-5-40.
Oh, no, he did
I mean,
not.
They don't have the weapons on the perimeter. And their defensive line is pretty good. Their back end on their defense is not any good either. So there's a lot of deficiencies on this football team. It's not just Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is not playing it well at all. But that line is horrible. Those receivers are horrible. That back end of the defense is not great. And their linebackers are so-so. Their defensive line is probably the best unit, and maybe the running backs might be the best unit on their football team right now. There's a lot of holes, a lot of deficiencies on this football team right now.
Yeah, and just I just want to back up for a quick second to the previous game. I don't think this is do or die necessarily for the Rams or the Cardinals. So if you go back and look at the standings, nobody in the East is close to being above 500. They're going to get one berth. The NFC North is the Packers, and everybody else is below 500. They're going to get one berth. The NFC South has the Saints and the Buccaneers. They're going to get two berths. That's only 4-7. So you're looking at the NFC West potentially getting, you know, three of those other spots. Yeah, so I don't think it's necessarily do or die. And as long as San Francisco's quarterback is Chris Mullins or whatever his name is, they're not going to be in it. So whatever, he's nobody. So I think that I don't think it's do or die for them on that piece. But I'm with you, Rob, to an extent. When you pay Carson Wentz that kind of money, I don't think you have to owe it to yourself to find out what you have in Jalen Hurts, because he's still on that rookie deal and you have years left to figure out what's going to happen with that. I think what you have to do, if you're in Philadelphia and tied into the other piece, what does the organization have to do? They have to get a better offensive line. They have to get better in the back end on defense. They've got to get some more weapons. DeSean Jackson is 37 years old. He can't stay healthy at this point, but he's probably your speediest guy on offense. Rieger is a rookie. Like you said, Alshon Jeffrey looks like he's running in quicksand. Zach Ertz is not back, so you don't have to pair him with Goddard when they like to run those two heavy, two tight end sets. And you need both of those guys healthy to be maximum. And look at the play calling. They started that game. They got a false start on Seattle. It was 1st-and-5. They threw three straight passes when they had Miles Sanders and Boston Scott in the backfield and punted the ball. And it's like, if the running backs are the best thing about your offense, which I think we all think they are, how do you not run the ball one time? It was first and five, and they threw three straight passes and punted the ball. They were off the field in like a minute and 10 seconds to start that game. It was that to me is just bad play calling, not a screen, nothing. It was all trying to go down the field with a bad offensive line and nobody that can get separation. So I blame Doug Peterson as well for that. Like, you got to know your limitations.
He's in trouble. He's in trouble too.
And you got to kind of formulate your game plan around that. So maybe part of that for the organization is somebody either talks to Doug Peterson or say, hey man, you got to give up the play calling, or you're gonna be out of here because you know what your team deficiencies are. You see them every day. Why would you come out with that kind of game plan? So. And I've seen Carson Wentz make some bad throws, and I think he's pressing, but I think he's pressing because he knows all those deficiencies that his team has. So they've got to do a better job of putting him in better positions to be successful. But he also has to play better, and that's just the bottom line. When you invest that kind of money into him, you got to see, is it us as an organization, what we're doing for him, or is it him really the one driving us into the ground? So they're at a crossroads. They've got to kind of figure that piece out of it. Like, if you're giving him all the weapons to succeed and he's not succeeding, then it's Carson Wentz. But for everything that Rob said, when there's all those other holes on that team and he's playing bad, there's enough blame to go around.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you on that. I think that. But also look at his throws. I mean, when he had his confidence, even those throws, even with some of the deficiencies that he's had. He's been able to make those little throws, but he's throwing them in the dirt. He's throwing them way over. He's putting his receivers in harm's way with high throws. Yeah, he's just not accurate like he was. And that's what I'm getting at. We're just holding on to the ball for too damn long instead of throwing it away and taking that big sack. These are poor decisions that is it the play call? Yes, but it's also that quarterback and being able to have that confidence to read what's going on out there. That's why I think he's lost some of the confidence. So this next weekend, if you get a chance to look at some lousy football from the NFC, watch him on that and really study what he's doing on it. And I'd like to hear back on this maybe next week, because that's kind of what I've been watching.
I agree. I think he's seeing ghosts, but I think a part of that is the fact that his offensive line is so terrible and he doesn't have confidence in his play calling, that you're right. It has shaken his confidence. So it's like a symbiotic relationship, is that he's playing badly due to his shaken confidence, but some of that I think is also to the deficiencies around him and his play calling.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's married together of they just are not doing well as an organization. And the only reason why you even consider them in these conversations is because that NFC East is so bad, they can still win it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of both. I think
New York football Giants first place.
They're bad.
Right.
And
this
their quarterback is
there
to be off for a couple of weeks with a bad hamstring. They could still win that division.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, but I agree with you, JQ. It's a little bit of both. I think, that Super Bowl year that Doug Peterson was drawing up the right plays, that the RPOs were on fire, they were hitting everything, and like I said, Nick Foles was running it, but still he felt like he had it. And then now you're looking at it, and it's like you're calling the plays, but Carson Wentz isn't delivering, so okay, we can try to, make another play call. Then like Rob said, the line is bad, their receivers aren't getting open. It's just the combination of everything going bad, so it's just not good by any means. And the sad thing is, it's anybody's division. That's like 3-7, and you still got opportunity to win this damn division, which is crazy. So you guys play
seven.
Football Giants,
and
that's going to be crazy. Yeah, 4-7, my bad.
And they might win it because of the tie with the Bengals. Like, if they get a chance to tie it, win-wise,
that's
they're going to win it because
they're
going to have one less loss because they got the tie with the Bengals.
I was looking at the Eagles. They're like 3-7-1. I forgot that the top squad is like 4-1, but yeah, I'm with you on that too. So that's crazy.
Yeah.
So they're still like somewhere in the middle of that. That's nuts, man. I
better watch that football team in that division. They might be the team to beat.
I agree.
With that defense and that pass rush they have on the defensive line, yeah, you better watch that football team. Antonio Gibson, the running back, starting to get some things done. Yeah.
Four and the wide receiver.
Yeah. Watch the football team. Alex Smith, being smart with the football. Ron Rivera has been able to be successful with that recipe in the past. So watch that football team.
Yeah, I agree.
NFL watch, the NBA watch, MVP season watch is still on. I still think looks like Patrick Mahomes is still taking that, if you will. We talk about Jekyll and Hyde. Sometimes it's Russell Wilson, sometimes it's not. But I still think Patrick Mahomes, and I know you added Derrick Henry too as well, Rob. So go ahead with that one, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Mahomes by far right now is the leading the pack from the MVP standpoint. I think Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson are a few notches behind, you know, right there in that mix. Josh Allen may be a few notches behind them as well. And then I think you put in Derrick Henry at that number five spot right now when it comes to the MVP MVP candidate. So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with it. And, you know, Derrick Henry, the way he's been playing here in the last few weeks, you know, could possibly even move up even further in this conversation. But it's right now it's Mahomes. He's the leading candidate, what he's doing. We've talked about this from the Steelers standpoint. You know, a lot of people have asked, you know, should Roethlisberger be in this conversation? I still say it's really their defense is really the key cog to their success, not to take anything away from Roethlisberger. So, yeah, for me it's still Mahomes right now running away with it.
I agree, and it's crazy we talk about that. We've got a team that's 11-0, and they don't have somebody we would consider to be in the top three of the MVP conversation. But if you looked at his numbers today at halftime, I think he was like 176 with an interception. He's not blowing you away with his stats. Like, he's managing the game to a certain extent, but his defense is definitely keeping him in that game. So I can't put Roethlisberger in there because his numbers don't back up being an MVP. Record-wise, it backs up being an MVP. But if you look at his stats, you know, if you took a blind comparison of stats of quarterbacks and looked at them, you wouldn't think that he was quarterbacking in an 11-0 team. So it's just really weird, the dynamic that's happening with Pittsburgh. They're still 11-0, but his stats aren't blowing you away like Mahomes or Rodgers or Russ. But, yeah, to me, I think at this
that
point,
defense, man.
Mahomes, yeah, I think Mahomes has kind of, you know, separated himself. And then what he and Tyreek Hill did in that first half, because he's getting these marquee games. It's almost like college football. You know what I mean? Like, you play these really top five, top ten teams every week, and you put up Heisman-type numbers. He's putting up Heisman-type numbers. He 200 yards to Tyreek Hill alone in the first half last week for three touchdowns. He's putting up
and
these crazy numbers that you're looking at, and you're like, damn, you know he wants to go to Kelce and Tyreek, and yet you still can't stop it. And it's amazing. Yeah. And you watch, you know, Josh Allen come up and down. You watch Russell Wilson come up and down. You watch Aaron Rodgers come up and down with his stats and what he does and doesn't do. And Mahomes just seems to me to be on a clear ascension every week and winning games. And he's finding somebody different. Sometimes it's Kelce, sometimes it's Hill. I think it's Mahomes right now to lose. I mean, it's really mind-boggling what that dude is doing at such a young age, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only thing that I would say about NJQ is, and Andre and Curtis, the only thing I would say is about, you know, Big Ben is, his stats, you're right, JQ, his stats do not, you take the stats and you set them aside, they don't look all that great. But I think if we could pull out some of those timely plays that he has made, the stepping up into the pocket, the just moving just a bit so he doesn't get sacked, because he's not mobile, but he's really smart in the pocket. And if you can take those timely plays, the third and sixes and the third and sevens, and where he's making those passes and allowing those receivers and the backs out of the backfield to catch those passes and make it, I would put him with his team at 11-0. I would at least put him at the bottom of that top five, at least with that, because that's what I've seen with him. I don't think his overall stats are great, because they're not, but boy, there's some timely plays in there that every game that keep those drives alive and make that system work. So that I would put him, I'd probably be the only one here that would put him in the top five, but, and it would be at the bottom of the top five, but I would still put him there.
No, I mean, I'll give you that, but the only reason why I say that he probably wouldn't be, if you took like a poll straw of the people that vote, is because they still get enamored with those stats. And I think a piece of them still have, like I said, that college passing piece where they want to see how these crazy passing yard days with these multiple touchdowns and these low interception totals. Then you look at his numbers, and you're right. He makes some plays that he has to make in timely fashion. There's no doubt about that to keep them undefeated. When you look at the whole body of work in terms of what his stats say, they're going to say, which is what we said before, his defense is helping him out a whole lot. And again, he's doing some things early in the game that might hurt him, but he's definitely pulling them through later in the game to make sure that they win those games and stay undefeated. But I just feel like the writers, when they look at it, they look at that sheet and they say, how many touchdowns did he throw? How many picks does he have? How many yards does he throw him for?
Right.
And when
right.
you start measuring that against everybody else, I think being up here with the undefeated record, and then you start looking at the stats, it starts to come down. And I think that's the problem he's going to have unless he just catches ungodly fire over the last quarter of the season. But I hear what you're saying. He's definitely made very timely plays.
Ben Roethlisberger could have over 6,000 yards passing this season, 89 touchdowns with zero INTs, rush for 2,000 yards, and JQ still won't vote for Ben Roethlisberger as MVP.
That's true. That is true.
No, I wouldn't.
Is this true? Is this true?
Yep, true. Fact.
100.
Ben
Roethlisberger is throwing the ball a lot quicker. They were showing that at, even during the game. He's throwing the ball like a 2-point-something second before he'd run around, dip and dive, run, you know, 8 seconds of the pocket and make plays. Now he's like, pew, pew, pew. He ain't got time anymore, man.
He's got a really good wide receiving core, and that's something else I think they're going to hold against him. He's got a really good wide receiving core, and they're going to say, why are your numbers not better when you got Juju and Deontay and Claypool, you know, balling
Claypool,
like that?
Yeah,
why
Claypool.
Are you not having a legit 350-yard game and 3 touchdowns every
Benny
game?
Snell.
So I think they're going to look at that and say the same thing. They're going to say, you got all those weapons. Why are your numbers not better from a passing standpoint? But I'm not gonna take them away from them. They're undefeated. I mean, undefeated is undefeated. You know what I mean? And he's made enough plays to keep them undefeated. But his numbers don't match up to what, you know, Mahomes and a Rodgers and Russell Wilson are going to throw for over the year. I just think that's what hurt him in the MVP conversation. That's just me.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
All right. Let's do the top 32 prospects by Rob. And then we'll talk about the NFL coach in the hot seat. We'll, again, check with Gary to see if Mike McCarthy's in the hot seat, man.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Is it getting warm? No, it's not getting warm at all, bro. I got 3 more years in the contract, bro. It ain't happening. Go ahead, Rob.
Bob to the top 32.
I know. I've been saying.
No changes with the top three. Obviously, still Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Penei Sewell, offensive tackle from Oregon, still at the top three. Patrick Surtain, cornerback from Alabama, got a number four. Gregory Russo, the edge rusher from Miami, number five. Christian Darrisaw, the offensive tackle from Virginia Tech. He's the big riser right now. He's gone up all the way to number six. Just nasty, the way he's just manhandling people on the offensive line here in the last few weeks. Virginia Tech has had games. So he's the guy that's on the rise right now, all the way up to number six from a run-blocking standpoint as well as pass-blocking standpoint. He has been absolutely outstanding and nasty on the football field. We talked about North Dakota State, Trey Lance, got number seven. Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU, number 10. Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver, LSU. Obviously, but before the season, we had him up there like 3 or 4 in this conversation. Got him up there number 11, a little bit of out of sight, out of mind. You got to wait and see what he kind of does at the combines and some of these workouts here later in the draft. Another riser here, Elijah Vera Tucker, another offensive tackle from USC, who's been shining here since the Pac-12 has been back. I have him at number 12. Alex Leatherwood, offensive tackle, Alabama, 13. Jalen Waddle, 14. Javon Holland, safety, Oregon, number 15. Kyle Pitts, tight end, Florida, who's clearly been the best tight end in college football this season, even though he's missed a couple of games. I'll skip around a little bit. You got Michael Parsons, linebacker, Penn State, down at 19. Wyatt Davis, offensive guard, Ohio State, at number 21. Samuel Cosmi, who was opted out for the rest of the season, offensive tackle, Texas, number 22. Rashad Bateman, big wide receiver from Minnesota, number 25. Caleb Farley, cornerback, Virginia Tech, number 26. Rondell Moore, wide receiver, Purdue, 27. Devontae Smith, wide receiver, Alabama, number 30. But the full top 32 is posted on our Talking Sports with the 12-man Facebook page.
I tell you what,
appreciate that, Rob.
If nothing else is pushed, yeah, for sure. If nothing else has pushed the Bengals to go get that big boy from Oregon, because right now they're tracking to be third, and they would be right in line to pick him up in the draft after what happened to Joe Burrow. But you make an interesting point about Ja'Marr Chase. But you know what? I think it really helps him. It's how ridiculous Justin Jefferson is balling out from Minnesota. And I think people are going to look at that and say, you know what, he opted out. Well, if that dude that played on that same team with him, if he's anything as good as Justin Jefferson is, and we let that dude slip all the way down to Minnesota, we're not going to make that mistake again. So, I honestly think that helps him coming from the same program, same kind of bloodlines piece. I think people are going to look at it and say, you know what, he hasn't played, but that dude is a beast. And we just watched this dude be a beast. He just balled out this past game when Adam Thielen was out, and you knew they wanted to give him the ball, and he still got the ball. I think that helps Ja'Marr Chase a whole lot. I do.
Yeah, and believe it or not, Ja'Marr Chase was a better receiver on that team last year. He better than Justin Jefferson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I'd love for him to go to the Falcons at that number. You know, make that happen. But no, I'm just joking. We can't keep drafting.
No, you don't need another wide receiver, bro.
I know, man. I'm just saying. I just want to. I just, you know, we just like LSU, man. We like taking those players from Rob, man. That's what makes it even a lot more sweeter. So how can we make that happen, man? So, you know, I'm kind of joking. I'm kind of serious, too. But on a serious note, man, coaching, it depends on our coaching staff, man, because I have no idea. We may get defense for all we know, man, because they're going to let Matt Ryan play for the last 2 years, man. So it's just a whole other conversation.
His cap is so big, though. His cap hit is ridiculous.
I know.
You
can't get rid of him. Yeah, you can't get rid of him. Yeah, that's why you got to let him play out, man. So, you know, unless you trade him or something like that, it's not even going
to
happen.
Let's go Oregon.
Good to have you
I
back.
I hope that big dude from Oregon. I need him. I need that big dude from Oregon for Joe Burrow. I need him. I need him in the worst way. You put him on one side and you put Jonah Williams on the other side. I need him in the worst way possible. I do.
JQ going to be like running down like, like a little schoolgirl.
Like, I mean, all that highlighter yellow and green. It'd be here like,
all right.
Wow.
So we're wrapping this up here. We're getting to the top of the hour. Everyone's getting a little tipsy here, having fun. So let's talk about some coaches on the hot seat. So you know what happened to Matt Patricia after that loss? He gets let go by the Lions. For some reason, Adam Gase still has a job. I don't know if he got pitchers or something. So let's talk about some other coaches that are on the hot seat, if you will. So, Rob, I'm going to let you kind of talk about this. Because, again, no Curtis Gary. Mike McCarthy has 3 years on his contract, so you can count that out. That's not even going to happen. So let's just get that out the way. But go ahead, Rob. Who else is on the proverbial hot seat, if you will?
Well, you mentioned Adam Gase, and Adam Gase is a no-brainer, right? Team is 0-11. I mean, obviously this is a team that doesn't have any talent on it either. But it still is no excuse for the way this team is playing. 0-11. It seems like the team is quitting, ready to pack their bags, right? They don't even seem like they want to play the rest of these games. And when you see a team is quit like that, that's a classic example. That's all on the head coach, right? And you mentioned it. He's definitely on that list. A guy who I'm a little torn about is Anthony Lynn with the Chargers. And they seem like a team that's close, but they just seem to lose games that they have a chance of winning. And they're just not getting over a hump in a lot of these games here. So he's the one that you got to watch too here. I mean, Justin Herbert looks like he's got a really bright future, the leading candidate for Rookie of the Year in the NFL this year, right up there with Justin Jefferson. They're the top two candidates right now. But, I mean, their team is really close. I think in order for him to save his job, they got to find a way to win strong here down the stretch. I mean, they got the Patriots at home this weekend. This is a game that they have to win. And quietly, the Patriots have won 3 out of 4. And I mean, you got to watch them as well. But Anthony Lynn is one to watch. Zach Taylor, the Bengals, you know, even with the article JQ even said. And you have to wonder – is if he's got any kind of control on that organization right now or that locker room. So you got to include him, you know, on that list as well, unless, you know, they pull off a run here down the stretch of the season as well. But you got to include him on the list. Hey, I'm not a big fan of getting rid of anybody after one season, but you have to start questioning Mike McCarthy, right? I mean, some of the decisions that was made in that game on Thanksgiving was inexcusable, was downright terrible.
Hype.
Yeah, I mean, there were some horrible decisions. It was mind-boggling from a coach of his caliber, in my opinion. I mean, I was shocked at some of the things I was seeing on that game on Thanksgiving Day. Matt Nagy, Chicago, he's another one that you got to start to think about here. He started off the season 5-1. He's an offensive coordinator. He's an offensive guru. And they just cannot seem to get anything going offensively. Diddly poo, in the words of Jim Mora. They just cannot get it going. Vic Fangio in Denver. This is another one. Denver coming into the season with their defense, with some of their pass rushers that they have on that team, and with the wide receiver core that they have, the progression that you thought Drew Locke was going to have this season. Now, he's been hurt, obviously. Then he couldn't play this past weekend because none of the quarterbacks wanted to ask in a team meeting. And you got to question Vic Fangio here a little bit. And last but not least, Doug Marrone in Jacksonville as well. And he's a guy that's very well respected, both in the college ranks and the NFL ranks. I'm not sure if he'll get a head coaching job, but he'll get a job, you know, pretty quickly. But, you know, when you only have one win in the season, won the first week and haven't won since, obviously there's a lack of personnel on this team too. But he's a guy you got to have on that list too. That's seven names I gave you.
And when your GM has already been fired mid-season, the writing is on the wall for you as head coach.
What did you say, JQ?
So when your GM has been fired, because they fired Jacksonville's GM, this past week.
Yeah.
So when you fired GM, brought you in. You only got one win. I'm the same with you with Anthony Lynn and with the Chargers. They seem like they're so close. They are in every single ball game, and they are finding ways to lose games. And when you have that kind of talent, and you got Bolton and Ingram, you know, rushing from the outside, you got your quarterback in Herbert, you got, you know, Allen on the outside and Mike Williams, and Hunter Henry at tight end and Eckler at running back. They're just finding ways to lose games, and it's really sad. I want that dude to do so much better because there's so little, you know, minority coaches in the league. But something has to be said. You have to be able to find a way to win close games. He's got them so close, but they just don't win close games. And at the end of the day, those are the games you got to win. They could be 7-4. They really could. They have found ways to lose close games, and I think he's the one I would hate to see the most because he's so close. Well, I'm with you, Rob. He's got to get on a little bit of a run here to end this year. Everybody else, I think, should be fired. Everybody else is fired.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree with what you said, both JQ and Rob. The list, the least, San Diego, in my opinion. Mm. As far as the Cowboys go, I also watch that game, and I'm like, what in the – I won't say it, but that's what I said. You know, and it was just – it was horrible. It was horrible. And, well, you know, you look at analytics and you study this, and he likes to use that word a lot, but I don't think he really knows what it means. I was really anticipating, an upgrade from Jason Garrett. And there have been a slew of injuries. Cowboys have been one of those teams that have been hit and hit the hardest, one of the hardest. All teams get injuries, but, they really got hit hard. So Jerry Jones is going to give him a pass. I hope Jerry takes him aside and says, we're giving you a pass, but you're on a short leash. You need to make good football decisions, and you need to learn what some of these big words mean. Because
I'm not impressed yet now. And I want the Cowboys to lose the remainder of their game this year. I don't want them to win another game this year. I'm rooting against them every week.
What do you want to happen?
I think this is what I want to see happen with the Cowboys. And one of the things that Rob just mentioned, and my first thought is, especially because of the guy in Detroit, how many con artists are there in the coaching staffs of America? These guys go into these owners' office and run a con job, and then when it gets out on the field, you can kind of see. And I think McCartney runs into that gamut. I think he conned Jerry Jones. So Jerry needs to fire him, and Jerry needs to pick up one of these quarterbacks. He needs to lose his reliance to Dak Prescott, tell Dak this is business. And while he has a quarterback on a rookie contract, this is when you pick up players. And this is when you fortify your team for the next 3 years. But I don't think Jerry's going to do none of that.
Mm-mm.
He's not going to do nothing like that.
I think what Jerry's going to do, no matter what his pick is, let's say he's got a top three pick. Very well could happen with as lousy as they are.
The Bengals are winning another game. They'll be forced it back.
Hang on. Okay, so
you raised up out of his seat on that. He's like, y'all is passing up my Bengals.
They won't take that pick. They won't take that pick. They'll trade that pick back for more picks and beef up that offensive line. I believe that's what they would do. I think the smart thing to do is if you had an opportunity to get – see, I talk and everybody leaves.
I had to make sure Mark was good.
But you know what? I know. Thank you. That's why you're my
coach. Hear you.
Okay. So with that said, though, I think that the smart thing to do would be to take one of these top-level quarterbacks and move on from Dak. And not that I'm a Dak hater or whatever, but, you know, you can get a lot of players for $35 to $40 million. You know, on rookie contracts and free agents coming in, shore up your defense, get a good offensive line around a young guy that's promising. I don't think they'll do it, but that would be the smart thing to do.
You're not getting Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. So you're talking here Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, you know, somebody in that ballpark. Is it would you rather go that route, or would you rather bring back Dak?
What's that boy at Alabama?
Mac Jones, he's a possibility too, absolutely.
Yeah, he's a possibility too.
Listen,
I know what's going to happen.
He's going to say, Mike McCarthy, like you see your point, when you go into that Thursday game and you lose both your tackles, in the first half of the first quarter, after they had a really good game the game before, you could talk to them and say, you know what, if that didn't happen, we can win this division. We're still only one game out of winning this division. We signed Andy Dalton to be able to back up Dak in case something happened to him. In case something happened, has happened. Okay, we're in this to still get it. I'm going to give you this pass, Mike McCarthy, because like you said, we've had the worst kind of luck we could have in terms of injuries. I mean, our quarterback's ankle was pointed this way. So, what we're going to do is give you another year, but it's going to cost us less money now to get Dak because he's gotten hurt. So that money you just talked about where we would have had to pay him $35 million, we don't have to pay him that kind of money. Nobody's giving Dak $35 million coming off that ankle injury. We can sign him for maybe 1 year, $20 million prove-it deal, see what happens. If we suck again, now we're back at the top of the draft next year, and maybe we get the next batch of quarterback that comes through that's pretty good. We're going to run it back with Mike McCarthy. We're going to run it back with Dak. We like CeeDee Lamb. We like Gallup. We like Amari Cooper. We need to get Zeke on a diet. He's eating a little too much. We need to get him, and I love him. He's an Ohio State grad. I need him to slim down a little bit and get back to being more explosive. Let's get healthy on the offensive line, and let's see what we can do when we get Mike McCarthy and Dak a full year of being healthy together and see what's going to happen. I don't see Mike getting fired, and I don't see them moving on from Dak. I just don't see that happening, given everything that's happened to the Cowboys this year. I just don't see Jerry Jones doing that. I can see him looking in the mirror and saying, we had some bad things happen to us this year. To your point, Gary, can we move back and pick up another first or maybe a second-round pick in this draft and beef up the offensive line or beef up our secondary, our defensive line and see what we can do there? Because skill position-wise, I feel like we're good. Running back is good. Wide receiver good. I like
receivers,
that yep. Tight end. Like, I feel like we're good. On the offensive side, skill position-wise, we're good. Let's go in the trenches. Let's go safety. Let's go cornerback. If we can move back and pick up another pick and get some another spot there, let's do that. But I just don't see them firing Mike McCarthy, given what's happened. They've had a terrible year injury-wise. Like, it's been horrible. I just don't see them cleaning the house, given what's happened to them injury-wise this year. I just don't.
But if you were Jerry,
you're trying to say Zeke Elliott has been eating too much of that Tex-Mex down there in Texas?
Man, he is wilding, bro. He is wilding. I love Zeke, but you look at his body shape. And he was never small in Ohio State, but he's gotten too big. Like, he's just too big. He doesn't have that burst. That burst he had, where remember that game against Alabama in the playoffs? And he hit that hole, and he was gone. He don't have that burst right now. He does not have it. He might be able to run you over for a couple yards, but once he hits the hole, he's not to the house. He doesn't have to the house speed anymore. He's got to get back to that. And he's got to own that.
Yeah, he wants to be fed. Feed him.
He's eating.
Eat him, though.
And he's eating that Taco Tuesday, that Tex-Mex down in Dallas.
He eating Thursday tacos, not just Tuesdays. He's wild. He got to get it together.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at Walter Football right now. And it's interesting. So they got, like you called it, Jets, number one, getting Trevor Lawrence. Jacksonville Jaguars getting Justin Fields. Bengals getting Penny Sewell. They got you guys, the Cowboys, taking Gregory Rousseau, defensive end out of Miami. That's what they got right now. They got the Chargers taking Carlos Beauchamp, and they got the Eagles taking Jamar Chase. Can you imagine if that actually happened in the draft, if you will, too? So that would really change the Eagles' fortune.
The Cowboys fans
if they would come out of line of that.
AT&T Stadium on fire if they did that. They would set it completely on fire.
So who? Well, I mean,
the Cowboys fans.
That's who Walter Ford. Yeah.
I say this. If you're not going to move on from Dak, move back in the draft, beef up the trenches. Beef up the trenches, you know, and go from there. I think that's where you teams win it and lose it is in the trenches. Beef that up. You know, if you can get another first round pick, you know, in there, you know, or a high second round, whatever it would be, whatever that combination would be, take the best, you know, defensive lineman, defensive end, defensive tackle, and the best offensive lineman in the league, you know, and go from there.
If you're Dallas, what you need to do, what happens all the time, but you need one of those other quarterbacks outside of that Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, you know, do all this there. You need one of those third and fourth ones to shoot up the draft board, right? Have a great combine, have a great interview, and move up the board where people really want to move up to get them. That's your best bet for Dallas to move back.
Yeah.
But it's hard for them. Once those two are gone, it's hard to get somebody to move up, you know, for something that's other than a franchise quarterback. So you need a third or a fourth guy to emerge to where teams are like, you know what, I need that guy. I'm going to move up. I'm going to move heaven and earth to go get that guy because I can't get those first two. That would be Dallas' best bet, I think, right there to move back.
And there'll be four guys that possibly happen. Now, which one of the four that will happen to? When you talk about Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Kyle Trask, or Mac Jones. You know, it's one or two of those four guys will probably continue to climb in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rob.
I'm with you, though, Gary.
And then we got to wrap up some NBA talk, and then we'll get ready to wrap this up, too. So it's been a nice night. Go ahead, Rob.
All right, let me find my notes here. Got two phones and an iPad. I can't remember where I put the notes.
Trap house.
He's a big shot now.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Keep,
all right, ladies and gentlemen,
time.
Fantasy shout-outs for the week. League number one, and obviously these have not been officially updated on Yahoo. Should be updated in the morning, obviously, with the Ravens and the Steelers playing today. So everything will be finalized tonight into tomorrow morning. But league number one, the biggest win of the week, was actually my team, Death Valley, 162.40 over Girlings and Cumps, 116.82. Casey in Atlanta, his team, Lions Kings in first place with a 9-3 record. League number two, Kevin in New Orleans, his team, Kid Kev 23, beat Andre's team's playoffs, 203.50 to 99.40. Mark in New Orleans, Boxcar Willie 02, his team's in first place with a 9-3 record. League number three, Julius in New Orleans, his team, the Kings team, had the biggest win of the week, 173.80 to Mark Robinson's team, 117.60. JQ's team in first place, Ohio Players at 11-1. League number four, Andre's Black Lives Matter team with the biggest win of the week, 177.44 over Baby Got Backfield, 103.10. My
why
team flash
like
forward.
That week?
Say what?
Sorry, my bad. Go ahead. I said, man, y'all are killing Marcy every week. That ain't right. Go ahead.
Look, Andre, wait. He got the earbuds in for a reason.
That's 4 weeks in a row. She's been on the losing end in that league. 4 weeks in a row.
I got to get her. I got to help her out. I got to help her out.
Oh, man, my team's in first place, flash forward at 9-3. But he's not going to help out, man. He just beat him by 70-something points.
That's been 4 weeks in a row. Gary's hilarious. And as soon as you start doing the fantasy shout-outs, you should just see his face. He's just like, oh, God, why are we actually talking about this?
Yeah, I'm like Gary this week, man. This is the worst. This is the worst
Rob's
week.
Always got to start off with, yeah, and I won this week. Look at me. I'm cool. I hate the Rams.
I've been losing too.
I was watching one of the sports teams, and I think it was mentioned, how can you lose if you had Mahomes and the guy
Tyreek
that was
Hill.
Catching all the passes.
Tyreek
yeah.
Hill.
And I guess there was teams that lost even when they had those two. And
not
that
many
didn't
of them. Not many of them.
I don't have Mahomes in any leagues, but the one league I do have Tyreek Hill, and I did win.
I don't have any of those dudes in any of my leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you won. I was going to say, it sucks, man, because this is the one week where I had all of my guys were on COVID. Like, literally, I had, like, three guys. Like, I had Lamar Jackson, COVID. I had Thielen, COVID. I mean, literally, I'm like, and then I couldn't even replace them. So I'm like, that's why I lost to you. Boy, I'm like, it didn't even matter, man.
No,
literally,
you just,
I had
you know,
five
you just
guys on COVID.
You got monkey stomps. 203 to 90? Woo!
Half of those guys were up. Literally, I just
hey,
you're
rubbing
you.
It in.
Appreciate you. You're going to lose now in the future. Same, man.
Well,
I might. It's okay.
He did have one of the biggest wins in a week in another league, though.
Yeah, man, but ooh, that's crucial. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let's not do that to him. My bad, Dre.
I'm telling you the reason why half my guys were on COVID, straight up. That's it. Literally like
fuck your
like
couch.
Five of them.
Fuck your couch.
Okay.
I'm Rick James.
I cannot. Okay, JQ.
You wish you could buy another couch.
I got you, JQ. I'm waiting for that.
I'm definitely going to lose.
Okay.
That league, I'm in first place.
Nah,
I've won 10
nah,
games in a row. I'm just
you
waiting
know,
on the bombs to fall out.
You done stirred it up, JQ. It's on. It's on. Uh-oh. Now. It's on.
It's on.
It's on. And so, okay. Rob, go ahead and talk about the next thing. Go ahead and talk some NBA. We're gonna talk about JQ later on, but it's all good. Go ahead, Rob.
Where are we going?
We're gonna talk about Kevin Durant, and we're gonna come around to JQ in a couple weeks, man. So it's all good.
Whoa, man.
And thoughts of the past season.
She was hot. You know what, JQ?
Oh, talking, man.
Talking that shit. Sorry.
Okay.
She was hot, boy.
Okay. I got you.
Gary's just sitting back and laughing at y'all.
Rob, I'm waiting for you to talk about Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I'm trying to mix you up. I'm enjoying the show they're putting on right now. Let them finish before we talk about Kevin Durant.
He had to say monkey stop. I can see like you got beat. But he said monkey stomp. That's a whole other conversation. I was like, what the hell? You know, I mean, I admit, man, it wasn't a good week. Half my squad was on COVID.
You got to space
but,
all
know,
in the camera now.
You know? But it's all good. Okay? Why you got to say monkey stomp? Okay?
All right. I mean, it was Trump's coming to.
He who crows a lot of to eat the most crow. I'm just saying. So it's all good.
Listen, I didn't say nothing about my team.
All good. Thank you. It's all good. Go ahead, Rob. Next.
Y'all done or are we finished?
I think
we did you finish or are you done? Sorry, my bad.
Is that how Birdman said it?
Yeah, I knew where you were going with that. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail it. That's my fault. My bad.
Yeah.
Personal foul on me.
Yeah, looking at the Nets, this is going to be a real intriguing team to watch this year with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and the big fellas they got in the middle, Jared Allen, DeAndre Jordan, and Joe Harris. They got some nice wing players on that team. To me, it's just going to be all about Kevin Durant and his health, right? Coming back from a torn Achilles is really crucial. And I think it comes down to his health. But if he's healthy, I mean, they're easily a top four, top five team in the Eastern Conference, right? You look at Miami Heat, who's coming out, Bam Adebayo, obviously. You still got Jimmy Butler. You still got Dragic in that team. You lose Jay Crowder. And, where do they fit in? Do they get better? Are they the same? Or do they fall back a little bit? You know, where do Milwaukee Bucks stand? They add Drew Holiday, who's a borderline all-star. And, he's not a superstar. So where are the Bucks fitting? Where are the Celtics fitting? You lose Gordon Hayward right now. Where are the Sixers fitting? They make a trade, and the Sixers might have gotten better by trading Al Horford. I really do believe that. They got some shooters on their team. They were a little crowded. And so I think getting some shooters on that team, they might be a little better. And I think they could be a team to watch with Doc Rivers. I really do. But where are the Nets staying in that conference? Then with a rookie head coach, Steve Nash. You do have Mike D'Antoni to come over there and help them. So, where do they fit?
Like I said,
it looked like JQ was standing number one. But a lot's going to come down to where Kevin Durant and his health is in that situation. If he's healthy, I totally agree with you, JQ. I think, I totally agree. They're right up there number one. But it's going to be intriguing.
But you look at what they've got around it because this is why I say they're number one. And again, it's all prefaced with if Kevin Durant comes back at 94.8% of what he was, and we all know that Kyrie is a space case, but Kyrie is a talented space case. You put those two together, it's not like you had to gut the team to sign them. They signed as free agents. You didn't have to do a sign and trade like the Lakers had to do for Anthony Davis. You know what I mean? Where you have to give up three first-round picks and all your young talent. All that talent that got them to the 7th seed, I think they were the 7th seed, right, in the East this past year, they get to keep all those guys and add in Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I think if those two dudes are healthy, to me, they're the ones. Kevin Durant is a top three player. If you want to talk about him, LeBron, and Kawhi, he's in that top three kind of conversation, I think, with, like, James Harden behind him. So you have him with a top 15, top 20 Kyrie Irving, and then Dinwiddie, LeVert. They got Jordan. What's the big deal with the Afro? Allen. Like they got a talented roster there in Brooklyn. Yeah, they got a talented roster there in Brooklyn. And like I said, they didn't have to gut the roster to go get those two dudes. They brought them in and added them to it. Now the chemistry piece, as we saw with the Clippers, could be a thing if Kevin Durant or Kyrie comes in, you know, demanding superstar status. I play when I want. I take practices off when I want. But talent-wise, with adding those two to a team that was already a seventh seed, and you add a top three player and a top 18 player in the league to them, I mean, come on, man. We see what happens to the Bucks. Okay, so I think they're still talent enough to be a two or three seed in the East for sure in the regular season. But I think the Nets could be the best team in the East if you add a healthy Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving to that nucleus they already had. Like I said, they were already the seventh seed. So how many positions is Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving worth in the East to move up from seven? Because we all think we all can agree that they will move up from seven, right? If you add those two dudes healthy to that team, how far can they move up from seven? I think Kevin Durant is a generational talent. So you add him to that, him and Kyrie are good enough to move him to number one. That's just me.
Kyrie is a head case, too. So it's all about the chemistry.
He is.
You look at
he's also
how Boston
a talented
actually
rocker.
Got better.
Got better with him.
Got better going from Kyrie Irving to Kemba Walker. And so it's going to be, I totally agree with you. It's going to come down to Durant's health, and I agree. The Nets have a very legitimate chance of being number one in the Eastern Conference if Durant is healthy. I'm curious to see where the Bucks and the Sixers go with this, too, as well. And Jason Tatum and Jason Brown, obviously, you know, how much better they continue to get in Boston. Eastern Conference is interesting now. We always talk about the Western Conference. But when you look at the East with the Nets, you look the Bucks, Toronto Raptors going to be playing right here in Tampa Bay. And, Boston, Philadelphia,
Celtics.
Miami. We've got to remember they're the defending Eastern Conference champion. So it's going to be interesting. And we cannot forget about JQ's and Andre's Atlanta Hawks.
Man, don't you start that. Don't you start that.
We're
well,
not saying that we're
you guys
said,
to,
we got to be at least
you guys
seven,
said the biggest word.
Seven, 16.
You guys said the biggest word in next history. The biggest word in next history for next year is if. And I think Kyrie's too big of a flake. So that if is horrible. And Kevin Durant is going to have to play like the best player in the league.
But you can't do it.
First.
Well, he has the ability if he's healthy.
Yeah.
To play
you
like he's
and
do
like,
it.
That's a big, big, big if.
I agree. But you've seen him do it. You've at least seen him do it. It's not like him coming in as a rookie saying if he can come in as a good college player to the league, if he can translate. You've seen Kevin Durant play like the best player in the league for multiple years in the league. So it's not like that's far-fetched to see that happen, right?
Yeah, we get that. We understand. We're not saying that. Like you said, chemistry, if he's healthy, there's a lot of things. Like I said, they do have a good squad. Spencer Dinwiddie, I mean, they got some talent, too. 100% agree with you. So we're just making sure that he's killing it, too. So that is a very talented squad. Now you got to hope that, Steve Nash can make sure he's put all the pieces together. You did get Mike D'Antoni to kind of add that same style, too. So, again, you know, right now on paper, again, they look like they're the number one squad, like you said, too. They have to play the game, as we always talk about, too. So, but right now, you get them. Got to give them their props, 100%.
They have made that easy.
Basketball is back in the Big Apple, huh?
Yeah, we don't have to watch one side. And you can watch the early game and the late game. Might be pretty good NBA this year.
I agree.
Thanks for coming up. Really quickly, we're going to wrap this up.
Russ Westbrook and Bradley Beal and the Washington Wizards, the nation's capital.
Wow.
They get the AC.
It's going to be good.
They get the AC. They can knock Orlando out the AC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just going to say really quick before you guys can kind of pick your last thought before we wrap up. I will say that this – I kind of feel like college football dropped the ball because this would have been a great year to have kind of a 16-team playoff, man. That's just me, man, because I think it would be great because just the way that everything is kind of playing out, it would be great to see like a Liberty or something like just kind of go and just do their thing, man. I think this is the year with COVID just kind of like, yo, let's just kind of like – not to have a fortune. I'm just saying, it would be great to have, like, everyone out there. So that's what you said.
They would never let Liberty be the 16th seed. They would never let Liberty in. I don't care if they went to 24, they wouldn't put Liberty
saying,
in.
It would be hilariously awesome.
Coastal Carolina and BYU. They're
not making the top 16. Stop it.
This is what I'm saying. I was just throwing that Liberty as that, but what I'm saying is, like, at least you'd have – you got your top squad, you know, your top, you know, champions from all the squads, and then you have your next – two tiers from in there, and then just kind of like kind of fill in the gaps. Man, this it'd be a great opportunity if they really thought this out. This is a perfect time to have this. You know, let's just have everyone in. You know, I'm just saying it'd be good
for
basketball.
No,
maybe 18. I don't know about 16.
Yeah,
this is a wacky.
We might as well do it.
When you said Liberty,
this is the year.
This has been.
I was just throwing that zap. Like, you know, you want like a small school, something like that, it'd be crazy to have. But now is the time to like let squads play because again. Here's your opportunity. You know, they're not going to win the championship, but it'd be good to, hey, here's the opportunity to, you know, play a good squad. Yeah, it'd be good, man.
I'm just saying they wouldn't do it. They would put in the fourth best
SEC team
over Liberty.
I know, but I'm just saying, I'm just throwing that as an example, just as a Liberty. I was throwing that out there, but I'm saying it's good to have a lower underdog squad school get a chance to make it into the 16 like playoff. It'd be cool to see something like that.
I'm sorry, Dre. I'm bad. My bad. I'm sorry. I love you. I'm sorry. I don't want to fight with you no more.
Hey, monkey stop, man. I ain't going to forget that shit, man. It's going to be all day, man. So it's all good.
Oh, man. Gary, you off the hook, man. It was JQ and Gary about Andy Dalton. Now it's JQ and Andre about being monkey stumped.
I'm so happy with this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a great.
reality to bit us in the butt behind that. Andy Dalton.
Yeah. Oh,
I got
man.
Some shoebox in my booty behind Andy Dalton and what he did. That was horrible.
I love you, Andre. I do. I love you.
Andre, you're feeling the love right now.
I love you, Andre. Don't be like that. I love you, bro.
I'm still cool.
Yeah.
I'm serious. There's going to be a day of reckoning. That's all I'm going to say.
You know, getting back to the college football season, this has been a very weird college football season, right? And
yeah.
The NFL has been somewhat weird, but the NFL has found a way to get all their games in, even though they've just been mostly delayed a little bit. But this college football season has been really weird and wacky. It is definitely not the normal college football season that we all are used to as fans. So, I mean – to that, we're all disappointed. I mean, we know why. We know what's taking place in our world right now when it comes to COVID-19. But this has been a very wacky college football season. So you're having teams who've been games postponed 2 weeks in a row. I mean, it's crazy. And, Alabama clearly has been playing like the best team in the country when they played. There's no doubt about it. And then when you look at, you know, my top 32 draft prospects, there's no school with more than Alabama. So they're the most talented team in the country, and they're playing like it. And so there's nothing different there, but overall this has still been a very wacky college football season. So, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty with the conference championship and who gets to play in the conference championship games, who's going to go to the college football playoffs. So it's just been a weird and wacky college football season all the way around. Notre Dame did clinch a spot in the ACC championship game, so congratulations to them. More likely it's going to be a rematch against Clemson. Very much looking forward to that. Hopefully that actually takes place. It'll be a great opportunity. Be one of the better conference championship games, there's no doubt about it. Sounds like Andre's got the music going. Oh, that concludes our show tonight on Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We hope you all enjoy the fight tonight. between JQ and Andre. This was better than Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. tonight, people.
Yeah, you know, I'm going
to... You want to know your results? Reach out to us on Twitter or Facebook, and then we're going to let you all vote to see who won the fight tonight or if it's going to be a draw. So we're going to let our listeners be the judges, judge on tonight. We want to hear from you tonight, people. We want to hear from you on tonight. Let's find out who won the fight between Andre and JQ. Next week, people, we're going to be back on the air live on Wednesday night, back on Wednesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our friends in Albuquerque, that's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Time for you all in Albuquerque. Good night, people. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, he knows I'm just festivaling. Yeah. Balloon Festival, baby. He knows I'm just.
You know what?
I went
through there on my trip, and there were they had balloons going when we went through. It was beautiful. They do that. Really neat. Hey.
That was in October, right?
Yeah. It was at the tail end of the big festival or whatever that they have down there. Really neat.
Yeah,
and we got to send JQ there to go check it out.
No, you don't. I'm worried about my Buckeyes, and they talk about that. You touched on it. I think the Big Ten would change the rules for them in terms of the number of games you have to play in order to make the Big Ten championship game. But quietly, I think that's putting the cart before the horse. We have no idea with the outbreak that happened in Ohio State who's eligible to play in this game on Saturday against Michigan State, who's not. And I've been reading articles that talk about, you know, it's going to test the depth and they're going to have to play a lot of, you know, backups. And that concerns me. Like, this, them beating Michigan State, to me, is not a surefire thing, given them coming off, because the Big Ten has that rule that you have to wait 21 days before you can play if you tested positive for corona. So that could be Michigan State, Michigan, and the Big Ten championship game. So just to assume that they're going to win out, I think, as much as I'm an Ohio State homer, I think that is a fallacy to put that out into the atmosphere, because you have no idea. Is it Fields? Is it Olave? Is it your starting cornerbacks? Is it your starting safety, your starting defensive end? We have no idea who they are going to trot out at East Lansing on Saturday. So all that could go by the wayside, you know what I mean, in terms of if they went out. Because if you lost 10 to 12 of your starters because of COVID in this crazy year, you can be beat, you know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting to see. They, you know, you got the old HIPAA and, you know, try to protect the student-athletes' privacy and whatnot. But we have no idea what's going to happen. But I'm with Rob. This is just a crazy year. I was really surprised, honestly, they kept Ohio State in the top four with only four games played. I think they looked at Justin Fields and what they can do offensively and kept them there. But you can make a case for Texas A&M. You can make a case for Florida. I don't think you ever put Cincinnati in. I think that's just fool's gold. It's a cute story. It's nice, yeah. But they make the top four. They get monkey stomped by somebody in the top three. That's just the truth. So we'll see how it shakes out. But I'm really interested to see what happens these last two or three weeks in this college football season. And Oregon losing to Oregon State was just wild. So that takes them out of it. I don't know. Yeah. USC is the last chance, and they got them rated so low. I don't think they can jump high enough. They don't have enough games left to climb that high unless pure chaos happens in front of them. I just don't think that happens. So we might be looking at like an SEC, ACC basically challenge for the championship. That really could be what happens.
Challenge. Hey, JQ, come on this radio show every single week. Ohio State could be playing Wagner State, and he's worried about who they're going to be playing. And every single week, man, this game scares me. Man, Ohio State can put us on the field, man, to beat Michigan State this weekend. Man, come on. Every week,
no,
man.
Like,
man, this game, Wagner State got this kid, man. It was a one-star recruit from so-and-so school. Man, we got to watch him. Come on, man. You know they're going to beat Michigan State.
Did you think Oregon was going to lose to Oregon State?
I did.
They should have. But,
yeah, but
it's a rivalry game. And what the argument amongst us in Oregon was, we used to call that thing the Civil War. And now because of Black Lives Matter, they're rethinking of maybe that's not a good idea to call that game the Civil War.
So there were some big debates about that going into that game. But Phil Knight spends money on both campuses, so I'm not really sure where his money was on that game. But they got that coach at Oregon State, and the last time they were beating Oregon, he was the quarterback at Oregon State. And they brought him on – they brought him on that campus to start beating Oregon again.
Well, Mr. Topless, and I hate you, Rob. Yeah. I'm just trying to be objective, okay? I'm trying to be objective, sir, and not be a homer.
Oh, man.
This is the one I'm worried about. This is the one I'm really worried about. It isn't that playoff game against Alabama in 2 weeks. It's, you know, it's Clackamas Community College, you know, or whatever. Really, Jake?
Panera Bread.
Listen, when we play those two schools in Michigan, that always worries me. Because Michigan, because honestly, Michigan State, I think last year they had like 35 or 40 kids on scholarship from Ohio. So you know
The coach is not Tom Izzo beating Duke last night, man. We're talking about Michigan State football.
Oh, gosh. I ain't going to win this argument, so I'm through talking.
The coach is not Tom Izzo, man. We're talking
about
football.
Go back and look at it. Michigan State and Michigan always give us problems, so I'm always
Michigan
worried.
Michigan has beat Ohio State in seemed like 30 years.
And no, it ain't been that long. They beat Ohio State when we had Zeke. Sure did.
Well, the only thing I'd like to say before we wrap this up is, you know, question 12, 13, and 14, those are on the list today. Those are ones we should add into our show next week. LeBron, his contract. The Clippers and Lakers opening night, and is AD recruiting. I would have liked to have touched on that. We didn't get a chance to, but let's touch on that because, man, I'm going to do some insulting. It's going to be fun.
We'll definitely say that for next week. Meantime, we can do some insulting. It's all about that. And I'm just going to say, you know, again, just wrapping this up. I'm not mad at JQ. I'm really not. It's fun. It's good fodder. You know, I was literally coming into the thought process knowing that it wasn't going to be a good fantasy week because I want to say, again, five of my players had COVID, and I'm like, what the hell? Todd Gurley was out. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's all good. You know, I just chalked it up to that, and then JQ had to say monkeypox, took it to a whole other level. But, you know, again, that's why it was like, oh, okay, because I'm just like literally Dobbins, Lamar Jackson, Thielen, Andrew, literally half of my squad is like Baltimore and or Minnesota. So I'm like, yeah, well, and then plus Gurley was out. So I'm like, I didn't have a shot. So that's what happened, and it's due to what happened this year. So, again, you didn't have to, like, throw the monkey stomp in there. I was just talking about circumstantial evidence about what happened with my squad. So, again, your day's coming, JQ. We're still cool. We're still cool. There's a lot of love. But, you know, there will be a time. There will be a day of reckoning. That's all I'm going to say for that. That's all I got.
Oh, my goodness. He's still hot with me. Oh, he's still hot with me. It's okay. I'm with you, Gary. It was a lot heavy for me with Ohio State and the Lakers. We can leave it for next week. I just don't. To me, Dennis Schroeder's crazy. LeBron's the point guard. Shut up, bro. Sit down. Relax. Enjoy the ride. Maybe
you
feel ring out of
it. Thing. You know, you're going to play on a team with LeBron. He's going to have the ball in his hand.
I was going to say, enjoy the ride. That's what it is.
Enjoy the ride. And if you're the Lakers and Giannis isn't happy, why wouldn't you kick the tires? Especially if he's going to be a free agent and you got to trade for him. If you can line your contracts up to sign everybody. Like, it might not happen.
Where the hell y'all get this money from, man? Where you get the money from?
No. So what they're doing is, if you looked at it, what they were talking about doing is that before LeBron signed this extension today, he had an opt-out. AD was talking about lining his next contract up with, like, that one-in-one where he could do one and do an opt-out so that he would sign for this year. After this next year, they will both become free agents. At the same time, Giannis becomes a free agent, and the three of them get together and say, hey, let's go play in L.A. Let's take, like they did in Miami, let's take less money to get all together and then fill the roster out behind us. Like, if you have that opportunity, of course you do it. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, but if you can make it happen, if you can get LeBron, AD, and Giannis, why wouldn't you try?
Yeah. Hope that never comes.
Yeah, but the Hawks or the Pelicans, you'd be thinking the same thing. Like, we have a shot at getting all three of those guys. I'm going to do everything I can to get my books together to make sure I can sign all three of those guys if it's possible. Like, everything would do that if they could.
Yeah, y'all hated on whatever happened to Warriors, too, so I get it. So it's all good, you know, to this day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, if that happens, they would hate so bad on the Lakers. Oh, the hate would be ridiculous.
You can get one.
And the Rockets are like being the villain.
The hate will be dumb. Again, any team that does that, the hate will be dumb for that team. There will be no team where everybody's like, hell yeah, y'all do that. You show them. Like, any team that does that would get hate. No doubt.
Unless it's your squad. All right. All good.
Sure.
All right, fellas. Time to get some rest, man, again, for this next day, man. So, again, East Coasters, we gotta say goodnight. Rob acting like he know him, the East Coast too, man. So he looks about to go to sleep as well, man. So it's all good, man. Till next week, gentlemen. Have a good one.
Good night.
All
good
right,
night.
Good night, people.
I still love you, Jerry.
Yep, I got you.